Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We have such a treat for you today. All of us are going to be just so blessed by what we experience today. I think this is a day where we go light years ahead on our spiritual journey into an experience, a state of mind that is a state of mind that we share with God. And there can be nothing holier than having your heart and your mind lined up with the Creator, with God. And that has to be the most glorious experience that there ever could be. And we have an opportunity today. I think the reason Jesus is giving us this movie is because it cuts across all the objections of the ego. It gives us a glimpse into all the aspects of resistance that we have had towards surrendering our will to see that our will and God's will for perfect happiness are the same. And it shows us aspects of the ego that we've guarded and we've protected and we've tried to keep, even though it brought us misery and suffering and sadness and hurt. I know it sounds ridiculous, but Jesus tells us the secret of salvation is but this: you are doing this to yourself. So on one hand, we don't have anyone to blame. And on the other hand, it's good news because we can simply accept the correction, release the ego, and be happy. It's really that simple. Now, it may seem to be difficult in practice, but I assure you it's much more difficult to try to maintain the ego and to try to live according to the ego's belief system than it is to let it go. I know many people perceive the spiritual journey as a journey of sacrifice. And, you know, when they make a New Year's resolution, they kind of have a little grumble, like, what have I got to give up now? What now? What next? As if it's a journey of sacrifice and you have to keep sacrificing every year until you make the ultimate sacrifice of time and space. So you've got to, oh my God, he wants me to give up linear time now. When does it end? But actually, it's not a journey of sacrifice. When we open our hearts up and we open our minds up, we start to realize that we've had everything inside of us all along, and we just had kept it hidden and denied from awareness. And once we let it up into awareness in its glory, in its fullness, then we just realize with one little sigh, oh my God, I was so mistaken about everything. That's the little sigh at the end, the little whimper. Oh, gosh, I was mistaken about everything. I wasn't correct about one thing on earth. I wasn't correct about one thing in time and space. I was completely mistaken. Absolutely, completely mistaken about everything. And of course, when you're that mistaken about everything, you're clueless. And when you're clueless, you are happy because you cannot understand this world and you cannot ultimately understand time and space, but you can forgive them. And that's what A Course in Miracles is teaching us how to do, how to practically trust in God, follow guidance, let go of the ego, let go of attachments, let go of judgments, not because we're trying to be special or good or right, but just because judgment is not something God created. So when we try to judge, when we try to have opinions, we're trying to hold on to something that God didn't create and doesn't even know about. We're just doing it to ourselves. We're giving ourselves a whammy, an opinion and judgment whammy. And, you know, that's not going to work. If you want to be happy, you have to let go of all opinions. So this week you voted on themes that you would like to use with the movie to come into this state of happiness and this state of grace. And also when I was praying about the movie, I was really open. I always like to keep the movies very relevant to what everybody's going through and experiencing. And so just like with Fatima, you know, Mother Mary appeared to the children up there in Fatima, Portugal, during the war. It was a very gruesome war going on in Europe, and Mother Mary appeared in all dressed in white. And I love that. Don't you love that? Out of all the centuries, Mother Mary is given to make an appearance. It's in Europe during the war, during World War. You see how beautiful that was? She came to the children and asked everybody to pray for peace. And wasn't that practical during a world war in Europe to have Mother Mary appear and say, please join me and pray for peace? So I know a lot of you have been following the news, and some of you live over in Europe and the Middle East, and people who live all over the world are quite concerned about some recent events during the past week over in Ukraine. And this is perfect. This is how Jesus helps us. He gives us a movie, and he's going to give us commentary to help us deal with the scenes that we're perceiving around the Ukraine situation, we'll call it, the invasion of Russia coming down into parts of Ukraine, into many parts of Ukraine. And people sometimes say, you know, I'm into God and I'm into spirit and I really want to practice the course, but it gets intense when I'm watching the news and I'm watching bombs going off, or I'm watching bullets flying, I'm watching scenes of bloodshed, scenes of armored tanks. You know, it's I go through my practice with the course, I do my prayers, but I really would like to go a lot deeper, because I really would like to know, are prayers answered? How can I best help myself and the whole world? How can I best help all my brothers and sisters in the most helpful way? And I think sometimes when we have a scene, when we see what seems to be war scenes, you know, we really, this is the time where we really get to see what our belief system is. We really get to take a close look at our thoughts. As we're watching the images, you know, we really get to watch what our thoughts are. Some of you who are practicing the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles, if you started on the first day of the year, January 1st, It's getting into, it's a review section right now, but basically I was looking at some of the review thoughts recently these last few days. And one of them was my attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. That's an interesting review lesson to have while there seems to be an invasion of a country and a war, outbreak of a war during a pandemic in 2022. And then synchronistically to have my attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is basically teaching us in the Course that we are spirit. And when we identify with spirit, when we identify with Christ in us, when we identify with the light, when we identify with the kingdom of heaven, that is our strength. That is our invulnerability. And to the extent that we identify with the ego, which is a make-believe false self, with the ego, which in Christian terms is Satan, not the best use of your mind to say, here, Satan, wreak havoc on my mind. That is not the best use of prayer, I will tell you. I would not advise that. Basically, when we give our mind to fear, when we give our mind to the ego, which is a death wish, then we identify with the body and we identify with all the bodies. We don't just identify with one body. We identify with all of them. And when some of them start getting shot and killed and bombed, we don't feel good because of the ego identification. The ego, it can feel afraid, it can feel hurt, it can feel angry, it can feel shattered, it can feel rejected, it can feel abandoned. But our mind experiences these emotions when we identify with the ego. That's why we're all here having this beautiful Mary Magdalene movie today with Jesus's commentary coming through to help us in the most practical way. This isn't about shutting your eyes and trying to blind yourself to world events. This is actually start taking a close look at what do I think and what do I feel? And underneath that, I would say, what do I believe? Some of you have seen my levels of mind diagram. It's the belief. The belief that's under our thoughts. It's the belief that's under our emotions. It's the belief in the ego that is disturbing to our peace of mind. And here we are. We're here to learn from Jesus today. We're here to learn from Mary Magdalene today and the apostles. Many times over the last 36 years, I mean, I've traveled all over the world many times over, and people will ask me a lot of questions. And I have been traveling during different seeming outbreaks of wars. Believe me, in the last 36 years, there's been a few wars on planet Earth. And I've been out and about globetrotting during these outbreaks of war. But if you go a little deeper into the situation for healing, a lot of times people will ask me, David, do you think the world is getting worse? Or do you think the world is getting better? And I said, well, it's a projection of the ego. And so as a projection of the ego, it's an illusion. And there are no better or worse illusions. So my answer to everybody is the world getting worse? No, it's not. And is the world getting any better? No, it's not. It's a mirror. So it's a reflection of consciousness. It's just a reflection of consciousness. When you heal, when you forgive, you see the world differently. When you don't want to forgive, when you want to be right about an opinion, taking a side, knowing something about the world, it's basically saying that you're looking through a darkened glass, which it talks about in the Bible, in Corinthians, you're looking through a darkened glass, and you would rather continue looking through the darkened glass than be at peace. What is the darkened glass? It's the fragmented glass of distorted perception. It's got dark spots all over it. You can't see anything clearly when you look through the lens of the ego. You're seeing a projection of error is what the world is. It's a projection of error. God didn't create war. God doesn't create conflict. God didn't create fighting. God doesn't create a fear and upset. These are projections of the ego. And let's make no mistake, this cosmos and this world is a projection of the ego. Some of us, of course, we read the Bible when we were growing up. Some of us grew up as good little Christians, and we read Genesis, right? You know, first book of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, it's half right. God created the heavens. God, I'm talking about eternal spirit. That's what heavens are. I'm not talking about the sky and stars and planets and gases. I'm talking about eternal spirit. God is the creator of reality. And when you fall asleep and you forget that reality, you are perceiving a dream of separation. And that dream of separation is coming from the ego. And the ego invented this world. So when we're watching the news, just remember, you're watching the ego's invention. How you react is your choice. But just remember that God had nothing to do with what you are perceiving, because God doesn't know of separation. Love doesn't know of fear. The Bible tells us perfect love casts out fear. That's exactly right. So once you come into alignment with the source, that's the perfect love, and fear is cast out for good. In fact, it's not even there. Cast out is being kind to it. It doesn't seem to exist anymore. It's not like a big war going on. I will cast you out, fear. No, love is laughing. It's like, this is no battle. This is just love being itself is what reality is. So I know people have asked me this when I've been traveling around the world, when different countries have been invaded or so on and so forth. Well, let's just talk a little bit about invasion. I think one of my interesting movies, some of you will have to do a movie gathering with me some week with a movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Some of you don't like those kind of movies, but I swear we would just use it for healing. And the only reason Invasion of the Body Snatchers would be scary to you is if you're identified with the body. To me, it's a comedy. I actually think it's one of the best comedy movies, because sometimes they come up with one of these body snatcher movies where this beautiful presence takes over the bodies and all the humans are horrified, and crime goes down, everything gets peaceful and loving, and everyone's terrified by all that peace. They were addicted to the drama, to the dramas of the world. When it gets peaceful, they're like, oh, that's terrible. Something's taken over the humans. Yeah, that's good. Let's let the Holy Spirit take over the humans. That's the point. That's the point of the course. Yeah, I think we do a lot better if we let the Holy Spirit and Jesus handle the humans. So there was a woman who wrote in from Prague over in Europe, and she wrote to Francis, and Francis told me about it. She said, she wrote to Francis, she said, have you and David done any teachings on what's happening in Ukraine? Do you have anything? Well, a couple years ago, we got a lot of messages coming in. Do you have any teachings on the pandemic? And so this week, a nice, sincere message came in from this woman in Prague saying, could you do a teaching on what's happening in Ukraine? And I said, oh yeah, I'll let Jesus handle that. Sure enough, here we are Saturday. It's days later, Jesus is ready for his teaching on Ukraine using Mary Magdalene. Isn't that great? What better way to go at the whole thing than Mary Magdalene? You know, that's got to be the best answer. I've never seen one news report that says Now let's go to the Gospel of Mary Magdalene to see if we can find a solution here. I've not heard one news report say that, but Jesus actually is going to do that today. One thing people are really disturbed about is this idea of a country occupying another country, taking over another country by force, and then occupying that other country. You know, it's like the ego is just a belief, but once we believed in the ego, it's been occupying our mind for millennium. It's about time we forgive this mistake, this tiny mad idea, because talk about an occupation. We have a forceful occupation going on in our mind by an alien will, the ego, a death wish. And we're the Christ, we're eternal life. So are we going to allow this death wish to occupy our mind so fully? That's what, when you have anger coming up around what's happening in Ukraine, that's where the anger is. It's like, it's forgive yourself for letting the ego belief in your mind. That's really what's going on. When you're upset, when you're watching images from Ukraine, remember that your own mind has a seeming occupation, and you've allowed that. You've basically allowed it to forcefully take over, where it has no business. It does not belong in our holy mind. It actually cannot be in our holy mind. Once we recognize our holiness, the ego is gone. So perfect love casts out fear. That's where we have to rid ourselves of the occupation. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, that's deep, David. I've never talked to anybody about Ukraine and talked about the occupation in my mind. But can you give us something a little more practical, a little more relatable? Oh, sure. I love to do it. I don't have to just stick to cherry pie and my Instagram account getting hacked and deleted. I can give you some good examples for the Ukraine situation. Okay, maybe you're upset because you believe that that Ukraine is being unfairly attacked and occupied. Let's roll back in history. Let's go back to Gandhi. Let's go back to Gandhi in India. I think some of you remember that Gandhi lived in India during a time where his country, India, was completely occupied as well, right? And it wasn't Indians that were occupying it. It was Great Britain. It was the British that were occupying it. And Gandhi, a lot of you have ever read his autobiography or you've watched the movie Gandhi, you know that part of his mission after he came back from South Africa was to set his country free from occupation. And there was one point in Gandhi's life where Gandhi was asked the question, because he was doing things like making salt by the sea when it was illegal to make salt by the sea. It was against the British law. He was organizing fasting and hunger strikes. He was organizing non-resistance as a power to free India. And one time, someone asked Gandhi, they said, Gandhi, are you a saint trying to become a politician? And Gandhi just smiled and said, oh no, that's backwards. I'm a politician trying to become a saint. That's what Gandhi said. You see how practical that is for us here? Are you someone who believes in politics? Are you someone who believes in countries? Are you someone who believes in the sovereign right of countries or the sovereign right of people? Or are you one who would rather learn how to be in alignment with God and learn how to perceive the world differently, that your kindness could extend to everyone and everything? That's pretty strong. We all know Gandhi is very much of a symbol of a very religious man. And he said, I'm a politician trying to become a saint. That's right. Gandhi, he knew about Ramana Maharshi. He knew about Paramahansa Yogananda. He knew Vivekananda. He knew the saints were so deep into their love of God that they transcended the ego politics and drama, the ego perceptions of the world. He knew that his soul needed to be free. It actually wasn't India. It was his soul. And this is where the teachings of Jesus are so deep, because Jesus came and he came to free our soul. He came to free our mind, our sleeping mind, from the ego belief in time and space. Jesus came to remind us we have a spiritual kingdom. He came to remind us that we never really needed to get angry, because there was never a good reason for anger, because we were never mistreated. We were just perceiving our own belief system, ego belief system, and then we were reacting as if something external to us was doing it to us. And Jesus was saying, no, that's not the case. The secret of salvation is you're doing this to yourself. So, great example. Gandhi, he used peace, nonviolence. He used his time to communicate. When he was thrown into jail, he just exchanged vegetarian recipes with the guards and the other prisoners in prison. And he wrote. He wrote most of his writings. He wrote while he was in prison. Now that's a politician trying to become a saint. That's a good way to move towards recognition of who you are, is to use your time in alignment with the spirit. He was not even unhappy when they arrested him, because what he was writing was what was declared to be sedition, was declared to be against the government. And then he said, if this, what I'm writing about equality, about nonviolence, about love, if that's against the law, here, take me. You can put me in prison. I would rather continue my writings in prison than to change and try to believe in an upside down world. So Gandhi is a great example. But let's roll the clock back. Let's go back to the time of Jesus, because Jesus and Mary Magdala lived in Judea. And some of you know that Judea was home to the Jews, to the Jewish religion, to the Torah, the great traditions. But when Jesus appeared there 2,000 years ago, and when Mary Magdala appeared 2,000 years ago, actually Judea was occupied by the Romans. They weren't coming forcefully trying to take over the country. They were there. They were ruling it. And where in the Ukraine, yes, there's bombs going off. Yes, there's bullets flying. Yes, there's destruction happening. But let's roll it back 2,000 years ago to the days of Jesus and Mary Magdala. The Romans ruled the whole area. They were the governing force. And instead of just shooting somebody, they didn't have guns back then, but they did have swords, and they would crucify people upside down. They would stick them on a cross and let them hang upside down and bleed to death for days. So when people say the world is so barbaric, it's never been so barbaric. No. Let's see. Jesus and Mary were here with us at a time when there were upside down crucifixions. So everything that we're perceiving now is really nothing new. When someone's talking about the news of what's happening with Ukraine, they have to realize this is the things of time and space. This is the ego's world. This ego world is barbaric because the inventor of the world is barbaric. This world is a world of sickness, death, pain, and suffering because the ego invented all of those things. God didn't create sickness, pain, suffering. God has nothing to do with these things. It's the ego belief that is projected out this world. And that's why in the workbook of A Course in Miracles, Jesus says, when I am healed, I am not healed alone. It's a perceptual problem. Looking through a darkened glass is a perceptual problem. So it may seem in your lifetime, the hardest thing you will ever do is just one tiny thing, and that's to admit that you have a perceptual problem. So I want all of us today to join together in being willing to admit it's a perceptual problem. It's a problem with the lens that we're looking through. And it's a problem in looking through the body's eyes and the five senses, because God didn't create the body or the body's eyes or the five senses. We have a perceptual problem. Now, that is going to be the most spectacular thing you will ever do, is just to admit you have a perceptual problem. But what does that mean? It means that you have to admit you don't have financial problems. You don't have body health issues. You don't have emotional, psychological issues. You don't have other kinds of problems. A problem that your cat left a little doo-doo on your kitchen floor. No, it's a perceptual problem. The problem of Russia invading Ukraine. No, it's a perceptual problem. The problem of the pandemic. No, it's a perceptual problem. You see, the ego made the world so that problems could not be solved. If you're perceiving the problems where they aren't, it would be like going to a movie theater and walking out of the movie saying, I don't like it. That movie is too violent for me. I'm leaving. And Jesus says in your mind, well, actually, the violence is the ego belief system in the mind. And I'm with you to help you undo and forgive this ego belief system. So we're so used to perceiving a world where all the characters and all the places and all the different faces all seem to be witnessing that the dream is real. And Jesus is saying, no, the mind that is dreaming has forgotten that it's dreaming, and now it's playing a character, and now it's perceiving everything around it in a problematic way. It's seeing political problems, it's seeing race problems, it's seeing gender issues, it's seeing all types of diseases and threats, it's seeing economic issues, it's seeing everything as if it's a real issue, but it's not acknowledging that it's a perceptual problem. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit have to wait until you make that admission. As soon as you're willing to admit that you have a perceptual problem, your life is going to get interesting. You're going to have the best adventure with the Holy Spirit. I mean, seriously, really, I'm sincere. If you admit you have a perceptual problem, you are in for the ride of a lifetime. It's going to be as spectacular, as they say in Espanol. You will have a spectacular life once you get out of the driver's seat and you admit, I have a perceptual problem. Because once you admit you have a perceptual problem, then you're going to let the Holy Spirit and Jesus show you the correction. But if you want to be right about all these other issues, relationship issues, economic issues, political issues, you know, redrawing boundaries, whether it's political boundaries or country boundaries, putting embargoes on, putting restrictions on, all these kinds of things that are part of the world, you have to just say, oh my gosh, I have a perceptual problem. That's the problem. And the solution to Ukraine is within my grasp, in my mind, if I want it so. I can actually see the world with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and bring an end to the war forever. And Jesus says that in the Course. He says, the war against yourself is almost over. Isn't that lovely? The war against yourself is almost over. you're the Christ, but you forgot that you're the Christ, and now you seem to be at war with your identity. But you're not really at war, because the right mind, where the Holy Spirit is, that's a reflection of your reality. And the wrong mind is not you and never was you. You were never the ego. You were never the ego. You may have believed it was you, but it wasn't really you. God has not changed God's mind. You're the Christ, and that's a fact. And there's nothing that changes God's mind, because God is the creator. That is definitely not changing. So now I can choose to change my mind and accept my divinity. And that's what Mary Magdala and Jesus are all about. So here are the themes that you voted on this week. This is what you voted on. First thing, letting go of the belief in abandonment and rejection. That's a big ego defense against the truth, the belief in abandonment and rejection. And it's one thing to talk about it, but when you come down to actually taking the steps in your life that are guided and inspired, that will free your mind from ego tyranny, now that's really where the celebration begins. Not that you memorize some passages from a book, not that you become a theologian or that you become a philosopher, but that you actually, just you, your mind, you actually say, oh my gosh, I've been mistaken about so much and I'm willing to change my mind. So that's how letting go of the belief in abandonment and rejection happens. Now, why is this movie so helpful to us? Is because 2,000 years ago, Mary is just a woman living in a family in the town of Magdala. And so is that relatable? We all can relate to a woman living in a town. And yet, Jesus and his apostles happened to be passing through and doing some teaching sessions in Magdala. And as much as she's supposed to be just doing her duties as a woman and duties as a family member, she hears about Jesus and she hears about the apostles, and she is drawn to go and to listen. Now, before she even gets to that point, she is going to have to face the biggest resistances inside of her own house, not out in the world where the Romans are occupying Judea, but inside her house. Her father, in the Jewish tradition, there's the father role, there's the daughter role. There's a lot of expectations, duties, responsibilities tied to the father role and to the daughter role and to the brother role and to the sister role. You know, if you think it's difficult to stop a Russian invasion of your country, you should try letting go of these family roles. Have any of you tried that in your household? It's really in your mind. You're like, wow, this is more difficult than the Russians. This is sticky stuff. There's a lot of drama, emotion. And that's what Mary Magdala is really going to be facing, because she is called to Christ. She is called to Jesus. She is dissatisfied with the world. She is dissatisfied with many things. She notices in her mind she has different longings, different desires. She notices that she's not peaceful all the time. She notices that she's not content. She is wishing sometimes, like, how did I get here? This is intolerable. And so first one is letting go of the belief in abandonment and rejection. It's in the mind, but you have to take a look at all your family self-concepts. You have to take a look at your brother, sister concepts. And even your affiliation with Judea or with the town of Magdala, you know, when Jesus calls, when the Christ calls, it's calling us away from earthly thoughts, from egoic thoughts, and from egoic associations and affiliations. That's part of the guilt, is the specialness of believing certain people in certain places are more important than other people in places, you know? And believe me, family, biological brother, sister, biological parents, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, you know what I'm talking about. That is so sticky that it's like a nuclear reaction when you try to loosen your mind from that. You know, it's intense. Yes, it's intense in Ukraine, and it's intense in your mind, because Ukraine is just a reflection of the mind. So what's going on there is just reflecting the intensity of letting go of the past, letting go of past association, and let your mind be born again new. That's what the resurrection is. It's being born again in the present moment. It's being born again in the holy instant. It's not about being born again in a worldly sense, in a reincarnational sense. It's being born again into light, which is just a recognition of the light that you are. Okay, the second highest votes for the themes is vigilance for all encounters to be holy. All encounters to be holy. So basically, Mary Magdalene, she's got encounters with her family members, with her father. Her mother died when she was quite young. She has encounters with Jesus. She has encounters with the apostles. And when she leaves everything behind to follow Jesus, she definitely has encounters around Judea with the women and men, mostly Jewish women and men, but others. And of course, even a Roman soldier, she will have a moment in this movie where she just looks right into the eyes of a Roman soldier who is on his horse. And that is the second theme, vigilance for all encounters to be holy. That's right. Even when you're looking into the eyes of the Roman soldier who's clad in the Roman war garments and the helmet and the everything that's part of that, when she looks into the eyes of the Roman soldier, the purpose has to be the miracle. The purpose has to be holiness. Seeing no enemies, seeing you are one with me. We are the same self. You see how deep this goes. So this can be a good practice when you're watching the news and you are seeing soldiers, whatever they're wearing, whatever they seem to be doing, whatever their behaviors seem to be, you have the power in your mind to join with their holiness and to find your own. That is the purpose of a war scene. Is to number two, vigilance for all encounters to be holy. Even if you're watching the news or you're seeing videos on the internet, your purpose is to be the light of the world. Your purpose is to join in the truth of holiness. And that's why when Mary appeared in Fatima, she was just telling the students, the children, and all the people there that came to pray for peace. She was asking them to join in holiness. The third theme is facing disorientation along the spiritual journey. When your biological father, in this case, Mary's biological father, seems to be hands off while her brother and a group of men are basically drowning her in the sea, and the father is just not saying or doing anything, you know, that can be disorienting. If you've lived with a man that's your father and your mother's passed away and you have a great love for your father and he just stands by while the brothers and these men basically drown her or attempt to get a demon out of her when she says she doesn't want to be a wife and a mother. She doesn't want to follow the pathways of the world. And basically, they conclude she has a demon. And they just secretly take her to the sea and basically start dunking her under, drowning her. And meanwhile, Father stands by until he can't take it anymore. So she's going to have to face this. That was very disorienting in her life, having these men try to drown her under the pretext of removing a demon. She has issues with her brother, therefore, who's basically sarcastically telling her, how about if I just bind up your breast and chop your hair off, and then you can go and pray like all the other men? Because women back in those days aren't even allowed to just go to the temple to pray when they want to pray. There's so many traditions, so many things of the past that are, today we would say, seem very limiting. But back then, they were just the common, the part of the Jewish culture. So she has to basically face this story, this disorientation among her family members, her sister Rachel. She has to face it when she goes to the temple to pray and is questioned, why did you go there? What was your purpose? You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go to the temple and pray. And then as she becomes basically an apostle with the apostles, she has to face all kinds of egoic judgments about, you're a woman, you know, you're a woman with a bunch of other men, all kinds of things that go counter to the culture. There's just a bunch of judgments. That's very, very disorienting for her. Also, when she's around Jesus, when he's raising the dead, you just have to put yourself in her shoes. You know, if you're traveling with somebody that's raising the dead, that's going to generate some disorientation in your mind, because those things just are not common. And when people have their symptoms removed and he raises Lazarus from the dead, that is disorienting to all the human beings, because that is breaking the norm of time and space. That's breaking a big norm. You know, the world thinks it knows what sickness is, and the world thinks it knows what death is. And Jesus and Mary are going to show us it's in the mind. The ego belief system is death. It's a death wish in the mind. It's not organic. It's not physical. In fact, you know, if you knew that you made it all up, then you couldn't possibly put so much meaning on birth and death. If you knew you made it up, if you knew it was a theater, wouldn't you be more interested in escaping the death belief in the mind than mourning the death of the body or celebrating the birth of the body? You see, the humans have no understanding of the context of how deep this goes. It took 2,000 years to get A Course in Miracles into this realm. And we've had the Advaita Vedanta, we've got the Bhagavad Gita, we've had a lot of really good non-dual teachings throughout the world, in China, in India. We've had really good non-dual teachings, but Jesus is the demonstration of the actuality of those non-dual teachings put into practice. You see how important that is. It's practice. It's demonstration. It's not theology. It's demonstration. And that's what this movie is going to help us do. It's going to help us move inward toward the demonstration of it, toward the actual experience of it, and not get caught up splitting hairs about the theology or splitting hairs about this religion versus that religion. And then, of course, in this movie, when Jesus gets arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's the early morning hours, and Mary Magdalene has just awoken from her sleep. you know the story of how Jesus just prayed through the night at the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the apostles and Mary Magdalene were sleeping, and then she just wakes up and she's very disoriented, and then she gets knocked out. So that is an interesting part of her journey. She just wakes up in the morning when they're coming to arrest Jesus, and she gets knocked out. She loses consciousness, only to wake up, and Jesus is already bleeding, carrying the cross in the streets. So she literally blanks out on parts of what seemed to be the story. The next one is called Keeping Faith in the Miracle. So there will be many opportunities for Mary to show us and demonstrate the expanding of the faith. She has to do it. I mean, she's following Jesus, and she has such a light-hearted, friendly, deep connection with Jesus, but she's also traveling with 12 other men. And this can bring up a lot of stuff in terms of how you're looked at, how you're treated, how you're thought about. There's a lot of healing. Any of you women know, if you live with 12, 13 men, even if one of them was Jesus, it would be expanding your faith in a huge way. You can only imagine. Some of you are like, I do fine with my dogs and my cat, very, thank you very much. That's about enough. That's as far as I choose to go with this. But actually, it's all thoughts, and it's all just letting the unconscious come up to be released. It's the same thing. It's been going on for centuries. It's the same thing. But you have to keep the faith. So there's going to be a beautiful scene where Jesus sends Mary and Peter out together. And Jesus is the master at sending people out together to expand their faith, to forgive the authority problem and expand their faith. And if you watch The Chosen, you see he does that sometimes with Andrew and Matthew. But in this time, he's sending Mary Magdalene out with Peter, the orator, and Mary with her beautiful heart, her loving heart, both of them just for forgiveness purposes. Of course, with the crucifixion, that's a huge opportunity to keep the faith. During the resurrection, that's a huge opportunity to expand your faith. But then Mary has to come back and tell the apostles, I have seen him, and have them look with disbelief on her words, as if they cannot believe that she's credible. That will expand your faith when you have people that you live with look at you like you don't have all your marbles, look at you as if you're not all there. Oh, that will expand your faith. I know. I've had a lot of people tell me for the last 35 years, David doesn't have all of his marbles. He's not really all there. So that's a great one to expand your faith, to detach from your personality self and the ego when people seem to doubt you and doubt your words and doubt your actions. That's a great faith expander. You know, you got to love it. You know, wow, that really expands your faith, you know, because you realize in the end, it must be your own doubt thoughts that are doing it. It can't be them. They aren't doubting you. You're doubting your mind is doubting its spiritual reality, and then the characters acted out. Academy Award nomination this year goes to my family for acting out all my doubt thoughts. And oh, Golden Globe too. You all that anger, all that frustration, wickedness. You really played some good evil characters, which was my unconscious evil darkness that I believed in. Academy Awards, standing ovation, best actress, best actor. You see, we have to get to that point where we don't take it personally. We just start to realize they did us a favor to help us get in touch with what was going on in our mind. We should really appreciate their acting ability. because it helped us. It seemed very real, but it actually helped us get in touch with what was going on in our mind. Oh, you played a really good sick one too. Yeah. And the death scene, that really looked real. And the whole coffin thing, and, you know, in the cemetery, I mean, that really, you really played that one out really good, you know. Academy Award, posthumous Academy Award, doesn't matter. You still get the award. It's just beautiful. Okay. And finally, I am worthy of consistent effort. Jesus says in the Course, beware of the shabby ego belief that neither you nor anyone else is worth consistent effort. But I am worthy of consistent effort. Well, I can't think of two better characters in all of history to teach us I am worthy of consistent effort than Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Those two. Oh, wow. In case we missed it, here we're going to see every scene they have to come tap into their worthiness of God's love, tap into the love of God. Every single scene they go through seems to be a challenge, egoically. And they keep stepping up to the plate. They keep stepping up into the next scene, demonstrating faith, demonstrating trust, demonstrating the willingness to expand our faith, you know, to really come to know God's will. You know, this is huge. These characters that played Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It's just really an honor to go watch this together, because they're doing it for all of us. They're showing us the way. It's truly the epitome of being a way shower. And I think right now there's been a lot of prayers for help and healing in what's happening with the world situation, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in the pandemic, what's happening economically, seemingly all these things that are going on is just our opportunity to accept the correction in our mind. And the more that the world seems to intensify in terms of these, I'll call them distractions, this is where you really have to be vigilant for God. When the ego is trying to get you to salute one of these distractions, when the ego wants your allegiance to jump on an opinion for or against something, remember that your Christ self is in there saying, come into me. Come into me. Find the peace within. Bring peace to the world by finding the peace within yourself. That is the answer. It's always the answer. Find the peace within.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.